first off and start and say what an honor it is to be here tonight and preach before you guys. It's a big deal when a pastor allows you to be behind his pulpit. And I just thank him for the opportunity. I'm going to be in four separate, we're going to look at four different verses from different places, but the first one's Acts chapter 2, verse 41. But I want to start off by saying most of us are still in school and some of us are long past it, but we can all remember math and how math works. And in school, we learn 1 plus 1 equals 2, 2 plus 2 equals 4, and so on and so on. And my main thought of the night is the math behind salvation. And starting in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And in math, when we were growing up, the first thing we learned was addition. And that's the first thing that happens when we accept salvation, that salvation, that saving our soul, word that's added to us. Amen. Just like how we learn 1 plus 1 is 2, that's the first thing we learn. And that's the first thing that happens when we receive salvation. It's added to us. Amen. Then more stuff when we get salvation, we get added to a church. We get added to the heirship of God. We get to be joint heirs because we had that addition in our life. Amen. My next verse is 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. Wait, am I in the right place? Yeah, holiness and the fear of God. I think, Sorry, I lost place there. But the next thing we learn in math is subtraction. You go from addition to the little more complicated thing called subtraction. And we learned that 2 minus 1 equals 1 and so on. The next part is God in our life, when we get saved, we'll still have some of that worldly stuff in us because we're babes in Christ and we're still working on it. And that's the subtraction. The more that we live for Christ, the more that we live in his will, he'll start subtracting those fleshly and worldly things from your life. And the more that you walk with him, the more you do, the more that stuff would just be gone, and eventually you come to that pure substance of your Christian walk. And sometimes even there's some bad addition in our life, and we'll add, while he's subtracting more stuff, we'll be on the side adding those worldly things back. He might take away, say someone gets saved, he might take away the alcohol, but then you start adding that pride of like, oh, look, he just took away that alcohol. Look at me now. And you start adding that pride. Amen. But if we stay in his will, he'll subtract all those worldly things Amen. From us. Amen. The next verse is Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. And you move up a couple more grades and you really get used to that addition and subtraction. Then they hit you with like a brick wall and give you this new term, multiplication. And you're like, what is this? I've never seen this before. That's what we do when we get further in our Christian life and when we get more of that worldly and fleshy stuff subtracted, God would tell us, go do this for me. Go win me soul. That's the multiplication. When we start doing stuff for God, we can start multiplying to his family, his will. We can start multiplying more souls to the family of God. And if we live like in Job, he lost everything, but he stayed true to the will of God and stayed true to God. And in the end of his life, what he had before was multiplied. So if we just live for God and do those additions, the goodly additions, and get those worldly subtractions out, we'll start be able to multiply and live for Him and be in His will. My last verse is Matthew 25:32. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And the next, and the final thing, the final major basic of math we learn is division. So when we take one term and divide it by another term, and you know how it works. And the way I see this in our salvation, when we were in the world, we had our friends. The ones that stuck with us while we were in that world. But the more you live for God, the more He would divide them out of your life because they're a bad influence on you. I know I have some friends that I used to hang out with, but I don't anymore because those divisions had to be made for me to be able to live in a godly way. If you're trying to live for God and you still go out and hang with those friends, those ungodly influence would still be there and lead you to keep making those ungodly additions in your life. And so it says He's a divider. He separates the sheep from the goats. And sometimes it's even in the church house that there's among the sheep that there's some goats that might act like a sheep in church, but in outside church they'll like, hey, let's go do this. It's fine. We just were in church, so it's okay if we go do this. But those divisions had to be made so that you can continue in your walk and continue in the will of God. And the last thing I want to say to you guys tonight, if the addition of salvation wasn't added to your life, or maybe it's distractions, or you're praying about the multiplying for the God, or if those divisions need to be made, I pray that you get settled tonight. Amen. I'll get a little testimony. Well, as Brother Clark preached last night, those pictures of grace, I'm a good picture of grace once you hear my testimony. When I was probably since as long as I can remember, first grade, I was what you called a little hellion. I lived for the world, even though I was like seven. I was as bad as a seven-year-old could get. I was in fights. I yelled at teachers. I threw desks. I was bad, and when I grew up some more, I was always told by my teachers, because of how bad I was and how much I didn't try in school, they always told me how stupid I was and how I would never amount to anything and that I would be retarded for the rest of my life. Then about second grade, I had one of my principal had a principal parent meeting because I did another stupid and bad thing in school, so they called my parents, and they told my mom that I would grow up to kill her. Right in front of an 8-year-old boy, they told me I would grow up to kill my mom. And they also told me by the age of 16, I would be in prison. They even told me that I wouldn't even make it out of school because of how dumb and stupid I was. And I just continued down that path, doing the wrong things, getting with the wrong people. And about seventh grade, I was diagnosed with explosive anger disorder, and that's how they explained all that. But mainly, it was because I was in sin and I wasn't saved. By the age of 15, I got saved and called to preach the same night. Then May 29th, I accepted the call to evangelism. And the biggest thing I'm thankful for is when then when the world gives up on me, when the world has no hope for me, God never gave up on me. God gave me a new hope. It gave me more reason to continue on. When this world never thought I could make it, God knew I would make it. I'm 17, a year later than a year past than what they set for my prison date. And I'm in a church on Sunday night preaching for you guys. And the Lord's just been so good to me. There's honestly nothing better than Him. And I thank you guys for everything.